Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, it's Rose.
Hey, I'm Lisa. Welcome to another episode. Well, actually, the season finale of season two, Punk Brats.
We made it another season. Oh my God. That's
season
awesome.
Season two. We're ending season two. That's weird. So weird.
It is weird, especially since this started off as just like a little side project.
Things that people don't know is it started off with you and me in the same room staring at each other trying to figure it out. And Chris he was all over the place with the cords and all. And then we realized we just got better through the years. And now, look, we're sponsored. We got some mics and headphones. So we're kind of doing better.
Yeah, we've upgraded, I'd say.
And hey, if you out there want to help support the Punk Brats, sponsors are welcome. Advertisers are welcome. Give us a call at 512-254-5989 or email us at info@punkbrats.com and visit us at our website at www.punkbrats.com. But yeah, sponsors would be nice, Rose.
Well, speaking of phone calls, why don't we start with our phone call from the last episode from Geneva from Austin, Texas.
Yes, ATX. That's where our home is. Go for
it. She asked, what is a word or phrase from another language you picked up that you still use today? I'll go first.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Mine is from when we lived in Japan and everything was so cute. And so I still to this day say kawaii. Like I'll see something and I'll go in a store and I'm like, yeah. Kawaii.
I guess the Korean language won't count for us because that's our second language because mom. Yeah. So nothing in Korean will count. But for me, it would be scheiße. Shit in German. Scheiße.
You say that all the time. You do.
Oh, it's my favorite word. Scheiße, scheiße, scheiße.
You know, it's interesting because it doesn't sound like cursing. Isn't that weird? Like when you say it in a foreign language, it doesn't sound like you're cursing. It just
sit on a train next to an old 80-year-old and say it in Germany. She'll hit you on top of your head with an umbrella. That's a true story.
What? I don't even know this one. Seriously, oh my God.
Oh, Sunny and I, a bunch of us were on the train and I guess we were acting rowdy. And after when the train stopped and the doors opened, I guess that's the second that the old lady decided to give us her 2 seconds of that she didn't like us and took her umbrella and waved it at us and tried and we were all like, yeah, whoa.
Wow.
And I think I was like in 10th or 11th grade, but you know, thinking back now, I wasn't that bad of a kid, but you know, it was just, we were having a good time and she was just a little annoyed by us, I guess. And she used her umbrella against us.
That is hilarious. It's crazy that I don't even know that story, but hey, even I learned something about you. So you sent me something on text message a couple of weeks ago that I found very interesting. And it was a screenshot of our analytics. And what I was really, I don't know, I was really surprised about is that, the majority of our listeners are from America, from the USA, but that we had listeners in Israel, Sweden, Australia, and even the Russian Federation. That was... I just kept staring at it, you know, because the picture you sent me has like, you know, the country flags and everything. And I thought, that is so cool. I mean,
it is cool. And think about it. The dandelion, that totally represents us. We're all over the world. Mm-hmm. And this proves it. There are brats around the world listening to us.
Yeah.
In all ages, too. And the gender came back split down the middle. And age group that's listening to us is between 21 and 65. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really impressive, but...
It just goes to prove that this community does need to be recognized more. I mean, even if we just have a few listeners, we may not be big on social media, mm-hmm. but the numbers speak for themselves that people are listening to our podcast. And I think our community is starting to become more recognized. And
yeah, well, I mean, not just recognize that we're representing as well.
Right.
you know, mm-hmm. and the nice emails we get. And, you know, the people who are calling in asking these questions. And some of the people calling in aren't even military brats, just people who are curious. So yeah. I found that really interesting, too.
And all the speakers, the guests that we have had, we've had so far, I mean, I hope it's proven that, man, military brats, they all grow up to do so many different things from each other, you know?
Yeah.
And there are some really successful stories out there. And I'm just proud to be a brat. Throw that out there again.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, like an end of year recap, our guests were all encompassing, you know, like from YouTuber to clothing designer, authors, photographers, movie directors. They just ran the gamut. Yeah. So, you know.
A young kid who documented the demolishing of his naval base. I mean, we've had it a lot. We've had it all. A daughter who is a prisoner of war. I mean, we've had some unique guests. And then coming up in our new season, we've got even more notable military guests. So please continue to listen to the Punk Brats. Follow us on our website, www.punkbrats.com. But Rose, we're going into a new season, going into a new year here soon.
Speaking of new year, did you know that it's the year of the snake on the lunar Chinese calendar? I guess more specifically, it's the wood snake, and the year runs from January 29th of this year to February 16th of 2026. And the snake, which is the sixth animal in the Chinese zodiac, symbolizes traits like intuition and strategy. So, and more specifically, like I said, it's the wood snake. So with the influence of the wood element, the wood emphasizes growth and planning. And if you're into colors and everything, there's actually colors associated. So blue is going to be the lucky color, and sapphire is your lucky gem.
Wow. So 2025 is year of the wooden snake.
The wood snake.
Wow. The wood snake.
Yeah.
Wood snake. Hey.
Oh, let's just leave
but
it
you know
at
what
that.
It makes me think of me being a pig. It makes me think of being a pig, and I have my special year, the golden pig. So what about you?
Year of the rooster.
What do they have a special year?
I don't know, but
lay,
do you
a
remember
golden
when
egg
it,
of some sort?
I don't know, but I remember like when it was year of the golden pig, didn't mom try to encourage you to have a child during
yes.
that year?
But did you hear what I just said? I said, did the rooster lay a golden egg? And roosters don't lay eggs.
Oh, I totally missed that. Yeah, no. Roosters definitely do not lay
eggs. Oh my
God.
Sometimes I crack myself up. Oh, Jesus. Okay. What else? Oh, so this guy who's coming up, our speaker, Chris Soriano.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys, I'm really looking forward to talking to him, because just the background of us learning about him. I mean, Rose, this man has been supported by Mark Cuban without even having to go on Shark Tank. He made multiple films supported by and backed by Manny Pacquiao. Come on.
That's awesome.
You know, the boxer. And if you don't know who Manny Pacquiao is, you're crazy. And what else?
Oh, maybe not crazy, but living under a rock.
Right. Okay, there you go. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail now, or hate texts like, I'm not crazy. And then also, he is a Guinness World Record holder. And that's all coming up in our interview, so you can learn more about that. But just naming those three things, that's one Navy brat who has accomplished those things.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. And but anyway, Rose, before we bring him in, is there anything that you want to say to our audience? Any words of wisdom or anything to close them out, like for 2024? Uh-oh, I put her on the spot.
I don't know. You did put me on the spot. It's like,
you're my older sister. Give me guidance.
I don't know. To thine own self be true. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, mine will be just follow the golden rule. Be good to others and, you know, treat others as you would want to be treated. And just be good. Be a good person. So, and this guy, Chris, sounds like a really good person. So I'd like to learn more about him. You ready to bring him out?
Sure.
All right. Welcome, Chris Soriano. Hey, Chris. I'm Lisa.
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
Hi, and I'm Rose.
Hey, Rose.
It's a pleasure to meet
you. We are the Punk Brats. Welcome, Chris. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. We know you're super busy, you know, being an actor and all that on the road with all those Hollywood people.
Not at all. This is fun, though. I really appreciate doing this interview, and I'm looking forward to answering these questions.
Awesome. So introduce yourself to our audience, starting with where you were born, and take us through your high school years and where you graduated.
Yes, I was born in San Diego, California. Dad was in the Navy, mom was a nurse, and both from the Philippines, but I was born out of a Navy hospital here in San Diego. And pretty much my, you know, elementary to high school was just like any normal, you know, public school life, except from seventh grade all the way up until high school, I was homeschooled. So that was a choice my mother made so I could stay out of trouble, because a lot of my cousins were getting into, like, you know, really bad things. And, you know, she protected me, and I'm glad she did. And that allowed me to ponder on life and watch movies and eventually dream to become a movie maker.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So you are actually our first guest who was homeschooled.
Yeah.
And you've also, so were you in San Diego this whole time?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's another uniqueness about you from our other military.
Wait a minute. So you've never been to a military dad school?
No, I haven't.
Wow. This is a unique. That is very different and unique.
Yeah.
Oh, I look forward to even talking to you more now. Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, the majority of our guests have gone, at least five, six different schools. I went to eight and just lived in different countries and different, going to different types of schools even. Yeah. So usually I ask our guests, so how does it make you feel when people ask you where you're from? So I guess you don't have that anxiety or have to pause and think about, like, oh, how am I going to answer this question? Like, or do they really want to know? Or do I just give them the simple answer, like, where I live last, you know?
I mean, I guess, how do you answer that question, Chris?
You know, what's funny is that I get that, but only from, like, other, like, folks that, you know, obviously they wouldn't be Asian. They'd just be different ethnicities. And like, you know, where are you from? You know, where are you really from? And then I'd be because they would think I'm either, you know, Chinese or Korean or Vietnamese, but they would never be like, oh, he's Filipino. And then, to be like, you know, it would just be like a confusing, curious question, not more so like rooted in racism or anything. You know,
right.
I never,
of course,
thank goodness growing up in San Diego, it's very diverse, but even in a very diverse place like this, you'll still get the, oh, so where are you from? You know? And when I just tell them, oh, I'm from San Diego, you know, I'm like you. And, you know, they just, you know, it's just, it starts to dissipate whatever, you know, curiosity they had.
So. Well, you know how you said you get mixed up for the other Asian cultures? We get Filipino all the time and we never get Korean.
Crazy, isn't that crazy?
All the time. Yeah. Or Guamanian. I've gotten Guamanian, Rose.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. This is crazy. Somebody once asked me if I was from Hawaii, and I was like, I think last I checked, Hawaii is a state. That would be American.
But Rose and I have a lot of military brat friends who are from Hawaii who are Hawaii Asian, like Japanese, Hawaiian, Korean, Hawaiian, and they are kind of their own little culture too. Huh?
Yeah, I know,
they're like
but
a fourth
still.
Culture. we love San Diego. Our family is from the LA area, and our baby sister lives in Irvine. So, and Rose will be out there soon visiting her in the next week.
Yeah, I'll be in California next week for the holidays.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love California. We lived in California, I guess it's the longest that I've lived in one place.
I didn't. You
said
we. You.
In the LA. Yeah, in the LA area, Los Angeles County, Orange County for a little bit, but mostly in LA County.
Nice.
So Chris, you being homeschooled, well, let's go back to your military upbringing. Your dad was active duty since you were born. And so did you ever go with him on the military base? I mean, do you have any, like, are you familiar with the PX, the military bases? Do you at least like familiar? Are you familiar with all that type of?
Yes, I really was. I grew up like just going to the base like every week, and like for the recreational activities, we'd go to the bowling alley. He was a storekeeper in the Navy for 20 years, retired SK-1. Like it's logistics specialist, but at the time it was called a storekeeper, and so he would introduce me to all the Filipinos. I remember going through there when I was young and going like, why is my dad like the president of the ship? Why does everybody know him? Why is he so friendly? And why is everybody giving us stuff? Like, you know, they just, it was like, if you ever saw the movie Goodfellas, it would be like him walking in and all the Filipinos like rubbing elbows, like telling him, hey, you know, come over here. I need you to help me out with this. And like, hey, so what's going on with your family? Like, you know, just like everybody was so like together. And I knew when I was young, seeing that, like, wow, there's another world aside from the way my dad is at home, how he is on the ship. And it wasn't like my dad was a tough guy or anything. He was just hospitable to everyone and everyone was hospitable to him. So
did he ever have to go overseas or anything?
Oh yes, yes. He was stationed in Japan for like 3 years. So he was away from my family and me when I was like 2 all the way to like 6. So like 3 or 4 years or 5 years. So yeah.
We're used to that. Our dad was away from our baby sister for almost a year. And Rose, he wasn't even there when you were born.
Yeah. And then he was in Korea for a year when I was in 5th grade, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, it's like a normal thing, like, you know, with us military kids having, you know, your parent, you know, being deployed. You mentioned your mom was a nurse. Was she also in the military, or was she a nurse in the military?
Oh, no, she was she wasn't in the military. She was just a nurse.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Gotcha.
She hung out with all the Filipino wives.
Right. Oh
yep. My they gosh. All, you know, hung out together, you know, maybe gossip together and live life together. So, but
and
the
you
other...
eat well because you go to each other's homes and everybody's cooking.
Right. Exactly. You know how it is.
Exactly. So speaking of that, what's your favorite Filipino dish or meal that your family made that is kind of, you know, that's special to you? Mm. Like,
oh, great question. To me, my favorite meal or dish was, it's got to be, it's called laing. It's basically spinach leaves and like that is like in coconut milk. And, and it's a very traditional dish, that or sisig, which is chopped up pork ears. I know that sounds crazy. And like,
that's
you know,
great.
Yeah, very traditional dish, you know, because the traditional lumpias are cool and, you know, pancit is cool. But when you get more like exotic flavors, I'm like, man, this is cool stuff. You know, my mom's cooking and discovering something new every time was always like really nice.
Yeah, that's super cool. I know. I was going to say, I'm not very familiar with Filipino food. I've had it, but like you mentioned pancit and lumpia, and I think I've had chicken adobo.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Chicken.
The chicken dish. I think it's chicken adobo.
Yeah. That for sure is one of them.
Is that one of them? Yeah. That's like something that I had eaten and that I loved.
Nice.
I mean, what can we say? Asian food is the best, right, y'all? At least to me. I mean, it's always my first go-to. I mean, who's going to turn down sushi? Or
well, one thing really cool with Asian food that it's so easy to, I don't know if you're into fusion, but it's so easy to pair it with other things. Like, I'll eat Korean food and I'll throw some salsa on top of it, you know?
Ooh,
or,
nice.
Or, you know, I'll eat like a pot roast or something and I'll throw some kimchi on top of that. You know,
kimchi on everything. That's a rule.
I mean, it doesn't have to be just Korean food. So that's one of the things I really do love about Asian food. I would like to talk about what you're doing currently, acting, writing, directing. You're also a World Guinness record holder. I was doing more and more research into you, I was like, oh my gosh, like, where do we even begin? There's just so much. I don't even know if half an hour is enough.
So really quick, Ivan, tell us about your World Guinness record. And then after you tell us about your record, go into, like, you were talking about your dad and introducing all the Filipinos in the military and all, about the inspiration of that being behind your movie and how you became who you are today. So go for it.
Yes. For my Guinness World Record, I did that just because I had a buddy who owned a car wash, and it was so random where he was like, you know, he wanted to find a way to raise awareness of like being eco-friendly and recycling water. And so I was just like, okay, how do we do something where we can raise awareness of that? And so I just told him, like, how about we break a Guinness World Record? And it was just like a random idea. And he was like, how do you do that? And I was like, I'll research it. And if I could figure it out, you know, let's make something. And so I basically was like, yo, let's make the Guinness World Record for the largest air freshener. And I know, just so random, has no, makes no sense. Right. And
he was like,
okay, if you could do that, then let's make it happen. And so we just did it. And it was like 5 feet tall by like 3 feet wide. And it was all made of eco-friendly materials. And wow. It was a symbolism of like, between both of us, like if you could think of something and you could solve an issue and raise awareness of something else, then anything's possible. So we did that, and I put my name on there. I put my wife's name on there, and I put his name on there. And till this day, we still have that Guinness World Record.
So, so yeah. where is this air freshener?
it's like this huge, you can't even fit it in a car. It's the size of a car. And it's actually at the headquarters of the car wash. So,
Wow.
You ever go into their office, you'll see it. It's just huge. So, yeah.
I mean, that's a big accomplishment, you know? I mean, you're in the book, so that's really cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So back to about like talking to you about your dad. So then you did that. When did you start pursuing acting?
I started pursuing it right at the heart of the pandemic, like end of 2019, 2020. So I'd say it's only been 4 years that I've been on this journey, but it's like taken over my whole life's work. Like, you know, it's like I was a journalist before this. I parked cars. I worked at a restaurant. Like I had all these jobs and none of that like mattered when I got into film. I mean, it was all building blocks to get me to where I am, because they were all pieces to figure out, you know, what I want to do. And it wasn't until the world shut down and I was with my wife and I was like, yo, do you want to, you know, continue to just see the days go by and us not pursue something creative or something that we could do? You know, like and she was like, all right, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, we could probably try to make a film or something. You know, we are in LA and, you know, it was always been a dream. I would tell her when I was homeschooled, all I would do is watch movies. So she was like, okay, you'd have to write something. You'd have to make something. And then from there, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll make something, thinking it'd be easy. You know, I never really made anything, but it was still the same logic as like the, what is it called? The air freshener. You know, you just try it and let's see what happens. And so that's what I did. I wrote a screenplay and I was just like, you know, as a journalist, I usually take current events and I report about them. And at the time there was those hate crimes happening on Asian elderly people. So I was like, dang, what if, you know, what was happening to them happened to an actual professional boxer. And then, so from there I was like, okay, there goes my plot and, you know, I'll figure it out. And I wrote it in like 7 days or so. And I mean, it wasn't the best screenplay, but
Earth of Almighty Zeus. Is it Almighty Zeus?
Almighty Zeus was the title. And like, it wasn't really like, I didn't think it was the best thing, but I think it was my version 1.0. And I was like, okay, let me just put it out there and see what happens. It's a longer story.
How did you get Manny Pacquiao to support it?
Oh, yes, yes.
He's a badass.
Yeah, I know, right? A crazy boxer. How I was able to get him to support it was that when we finished shooting the film and making it, I realized, man, nobody will know who we are because we're nobodies. We don't have any names. You know, we just made this film and we put our heart into it. And, you know, what would really help is if somebody of notoriety could get behind us. And so that's when I said, I'm going to try to get Manny Pacquiao to put his name on this, you know, just like a
random.
You
just shoot straight for the top.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No connection, no nothing. You know, my family has no ties to his, just nothing. And then I went on Instagram and I just DM'd him. And I also tried to find his email. It wasn't anywhere. But he had a nonprofit. I emailed that too. I emailed every point of connection I had. But on Instagram, I put on the message, Manny, to inspire and fight against hate crimes. That was like the first few words. And then
let's sit out to him.
And then after that, I put the trailer in there and I put the clips that we shot. And I made sure to email all this too. And then a few days later, I got a response from his legal team. I was like, oh, did I do something wrong? What's going on here? So and then And that's when they were like, yeah, let's talk. And I was like, whoa, cool. This is great. And not only did they talk, they met with me in person in LA. And I was like, dang, this is really cool now. I'm meeting these people, you know, like, and they don't know anything about me. Like, this is amazing. Like, look what you can do through the power of just a DM. And so they love the story. They love the concept. And yeah, he agreed to promote it. He just promoted it. He invited us to his house too. It was amazing in LA. So
really? Oh, he lives in LA?
Yeah, he used to have a house there, but he sold it recently. But when he retired, I think that's when he sold his house there. So this was just like, yeah, like 3 years ago. So yeah, 3 or 4 years ago. So I was there, yeah, at his house in Larchmont.
So did you do Almighty Zeus before the other? I mean, that's your first movie. And then you went off to write the movie about your father?
Yes. So I did the first one, which was Almighty Zeus. The second one, I did a movie on my wedding. Because it was so hard for people to get married during the pandemic. So I made a movie about that called The Wedding Hustler. And then the third one was The Master Chief. That was the most recent one.
I love that.
So did you mean for Master Chief to be a comedy?
I mean, I wanted it to be like a dramedy, like where it's drama and comedy.
That's what it was to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good.
Look, I watched all your stuff. They're all good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm trying to get better. So I'm a very harsh critic of my work and I always try to appreciate the journey as I go through it. So yeah.
We're not professional podcasters and we're trying our best every day.
Oh, wow. I love it.
But here we're going into our third season and Stars and Stripes. We're working with them hopefully in the near future. So,
oh, amazing.
Well, I guess what we're doing is kind of unique and different too for military brats, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Very cool.
Have you ever thought about working with Joe Coy and reaching out to him?
Oh, yes, I actually have. And it's just hard to get a hold of someone who's up at the top like that, you know. But I think with persistence, one day, you know, our paths may cross.
Yeah. Well, he comes to Austin, what, 3 or 4 times a year?
Right.
The last show we went to go see him, he was hilarious. But maybe we can, I don't know, if I go to the next show, I'll try to.
Oh, thank you. I love it.
Hey, I'm friends with Chris Soriano, and I've got to talk to Joe Coy right now.
There you go. Oh, I love it. Thank you.
So how accurate are his depictions of his Filipino mom and aunties?
That's super accurate, right? Okay. We all can relate. Even if you're not Filipino, you know someone like that.
Exactly.
My favorite scene in Almighty Zeus, Rose, is when, you know, at first everybody's telling him not to box, right? Like, you're not making any money. And, you know, it's like the sad Rocky Asian story. Just you're not doing anything with your life with boxing. And then all of a sudden when he suddenly makes it, it's so cute. His uncle comes and goes, hi, nephew. Like, you know, you're going to take care of uncle? I need some golf clubs, you know, or whatever. And then his aunt comes and just wants a purse. But, you know, it's like always, it's like our mom. Purse. It's like our mom telling us every time we go to, like, Rose going to California, hey, don't forget to take some prizes for the family. You know what I mean? Like, we nurture and take care of each other because it's an expectation. But it's not, I don't know, it's just part of our culture, the Asian culture of giving.
Right. Right. I'm glad you saw that. And that was one of my favorite scenes to write and develop a guy who it was the uncle who gets upset. But eventually that's how Filipino parents are. They'll be pissed. They'll be so upset. But when you make it, they're like, hey, you think you could hook me up with some golf clubs or something, you know? So I'm glad you said that.
So Rose was in the Hollywood industry. She worked at Hollywood Center Studios for many years. And
oh, wow.
That's her background. And her husband, my brother-in-law, is a storyboard artist for Hollywood and has done movies and all that and had his first Super Bowl commercial a couple of years ago.
Dang. Yeah.
So I'm no longer in the industry. My husband is still working in the industry, but I
got her to move here.
I was a post-production producer on the editing side for mostly TV commercials. I did work on like some, when I went freelance, of course I took everything. So I did, you know, produce some stuff for like, opening title sequences for movies when those started to becoming a thing.
I love those. Yeah.
Cause some of them were so cool, you know?
Right.
You did MTV Rock the Vote.
Yes. I associate produced about 30 commercials for Rock the Vote back in the mid 90s.
I was like, you're going to give the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Those were cool commercials. I really thought those were cool.
It was fun bragging about my sister, you know, with the work that she did.
Much respect. No, I appreciate every aspect of the movie creation, but the opening sequence titles, I've grown just in the last year to like really appreciate them. Because I'm like, I mean, this gives you the flavor of the film when you're about to get into it. And some of them could be so artfully done, like when you're watching like a James Bond film. Or you're seeing some, you know, and it takes a lot of work. And before I used to be like, come on, get on to the film. But as a filmmaker, I'm like, no, this is setting the mood. You're about to get into it. So, yeah,
for sure. One of the ones that really stuck with me, even this is from when I was a kid, was the opening title sequence for Grease.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you remember. Yeah. So it's like it's like animated and it's cartoon.
Yeah, yes,
and they
I
go,
do remember. Yes, yes. Yeah.
I always thought that was one of those. Well, the my the first one I worked on was for Space Jam.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. Crazy. It was funny. I didn't even know what that was at the time. And, you know, I had just gone freelance and my friend had called me and she's like, you know, there's a opening if you wanted to work on some opening titles. And I was like, that's a job?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure, wow. I'll do it. So,
I have a question about your parents. Are they, what are they doing now?
Oh, they're both retired, living life.
Okay. Yeah. Master Chief is retired, huh?
Right, exactly.
Our dad was Master Sergeant.
Oh, wow. Much respect to that.
And he kept us overseas for 18 years, or at least, you know, like, 18 years. We were those brats on the actual military base where the flag was coming down. You stopped what you were doing. And so you're kind of a unique military brat, like, you know, and I'm not even I wasn't prepared for you to tell us you were homeschooled and all that. So I guess my questions are like, do you still relate? Do you see yourself as a military brat, as a brat?
I do, because I think it's. I mean, that's just what I grew up and people would say it. And, you know, I just, I still do. And I'm proud of it. Like I don't look at it, you know, as a bad thing. And I'm like,
No, you're a punk brat now.
Oh yeah. There you go. That's better. I like punk brat. That sounds cooler.
So I guess acting is your new career now.
I mean, just being able to do it all, like to act, direct and write, because I see so many filmmakers that are doing that as well. Like if you ever saw that movie, It Ends With Us with Blake Lively that just came out on Netflix, if you ever watched that, the abusive husband guy, he's actually the director of the movie. So you're seeing him act and direct at the same time. And also if you watched Michael B. Jordan's recent film, The Last Creed, he directed and acted in that. So, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, filmmakers doing them both at the same time. Yeah. And I like that aspect.
That's cool. Cause I was going to actually ask you, of all the things that you do, which one you prefer, like the acting, the directing, you're also producing, correct? You're producing it as well. And writing the screenplays.
I'm also writing.
Oh my gosh. Are you doing the storyboards too?
I know. Right. I mean,
now you got a hookup for a storyboard artist when you need one.
There you go. And opening sequence credits and post-production editing.
You know what would be cool, Chris? Yes. If we could collaborate with you and do something regarding military brats, like a storyline of military brats with each person being from a different cultural background. Because like living in Japan, we were all half Asian something. And in January, we're having a mini reunion here in Austin. And we're all Chinese, Filipino, Romanian, Korean, Japanese. I mean, you name
it. How cool. There's something to be said there, a story. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And not just that, the American kids, Del Albi. I'm giving you a shout out there, Del Albi. Dude, white guy. Super cool, but had been raised in Japan, Camp Zama, and spoke better Japanese than any of us. And he related. So that's what I mean. He's a brat who came in from he lived there forever, where our dads kept moving us, right?
Yeah.
But I would love to write something for military brats and kind of make it a dramedy cost also, you know, because we have good times and bad times as a brat. Our hearts were broken when we had to move and start all over, and then you make friends and have fun and make memories. So
yeah, like our opening, you know, line on our podcast is, we didn't serve, but we got served. You know,
I love that. Yeah.
We didn't have a choice in the matter, you know, and I'm kind of curious, like, how it affects the mental health of people, you know, today, you know, from their upbringing being moved. Like I was literally the new kid 8 times.
Wow, that's the beginning of your film right there.
Our parents never, narration. For some reason, our parents never moved us where it was the beginning of school. It was always like school was already 3 weeks in. And then they just pushed us in a classroom and say, hey, everybody, here's Rose and Lisa Quintero.
Yeah.
They're new.
That's something I've never experienced. And I thank my dad for not moving me like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dang.
And even at my age now, just talking about it, I remember that anxious feeling of standing outside the door and them about to open it and push me in. You know, just having to face those kids. And, you know, middle school, elementary is easier. But come sixth grade up, especially high school, you know, it's hard.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
Hey, guess what it's time for? The lightning round.
Oh, shoot. Good plot twist on me. Y'all got me comfortable and then sprung it on me. Here we go.
Well, these are just, you know, random questions that we like to ask so that it can, you know, our audience can get to know you a little bit better just on a random basis. So I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in. What is your favorite movie genre?
Narcos Mexico, whatever those are, like mobster movies.
Oh, I love those.
I love Narcos.
Okay, what is your go-to karaoke song?
I just sang it the other day. Photograph by
Is it Def Leppard? Oh, Ed Sheeran?
No,
Ed Sheeran or Def Leppard? Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran. Sorry.
Oh, Rose, that's
yeah, y'all want me to
difference.
Go crazy rock.
Well, that really did define our generation gap there.
Right. No, it still works. I love both songs. There you go.
If you could speak any language fluently, what would it be?
Ooh, German.
Oh, cool.
That's just good.
Where is one place you've never been to that you would like to visit?
Oh, Budapest.
Cool. Cats or dogs?
Both, but I have dogs, so dogs.
Okay. Morning bird or night owl?
Oh, super early morning bird, yeah.
Okay. Would you rather be in a blockbuster action movie or a critically acclaimed indie film?
Critically acclaimed indie film, 100%. Yay. Yeah.
If you could switch lives with any character from one of your films or shows, who would it be?
Wow. Oh my goodness. Such a great question. I'm still developing them. But if it would be somebody named Jeremy Bailon, who is a teacher that's going through so much drama in life. Uh-huh. And he always hangs out at the strip clubs.
Okay. Sounds like a fun
that's
fella.
How you take care of it.
Okay. What is the last song you listened to?
I got a drinking problem.
Is that the Midland song?
Yeah,
Midland. Drinking problem. Yeah. Midland.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, and what's one thing you've crossed off your bucket list?
Ooh, man. I don't
Great
even...
Great question.
What is a bucket list again? Those are the things you do before you die, right?
Yeah, that's something you want to do. Like jump out of a plane or something. Or
I've never
go to
made
all 50
one,
states.
But I feel like I've done things that make me feel like they're equivalent. So one of those would be probably, I don't know, directing a movie and writing it. So
that's awesome. Great answer.
Thank you.
Yay. You survived the lightning round.
Oh, that was okay. Good. Thank goodness.
Hey, yes. I thought of something. You're going to write our screenplay. It's going to be called The Punk Brats.
Oh, there you go. I love the title. Punk Brat.
And that's what's going to be the premise of all of our military brats. That's it.
I love
it. Okay, Chris, that's your homework.
I'm down. Please tell me when we begin filming.
No. You'll have to cast some younger people.
Hey, age doesn't matter. We just need to shoot it.
You know what? That's what makes us military brat special. We are ageless. We've interviewed all ages of brats. I'm not really sure how old you are, but we've interviewed folks that are close to 70 or over 70 years old and younger than, well, our youngest was what, 19 or 20?
I think he was 19.
All of us just have that same background as respect for the military and our
right.
Family.
And what I was going to say about that is that whether our guest was 19 or over 70, we all have those same shared experiences, which is something that we discovered. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like those like the experience didn't change. I mean, we're always going to be the new kid. That's always going to be the same feeling, you know, the moving, the anxiety of moving, you know, that's always going to be the same. You know, so it was really interesting to hear them describe, you know, what it and how they answered. Oh, that question, where are you from? And the anxiety, there really wasn't much difference. And it was one of the things that I think is really cool about our own little subgenre group here. Yeah. Congrats, you know.
And that's good. You've given these people a home to vent at Punk Brat, you know. So thank you.
We actually had a young kid write to us saying, like, it's stressful for them. Their father had moved them 4 or 5 times and they were mentally breaking down. And and it's not easy for all military brats. So we just try to be an outlet, you know. And
so nice.
I guess our work is finally standing out because we finally have social media is a challenge, right? We may not have all the number of followers, but people are listening to us, and we have listeners, according to our podcast stats, listeners all the way in Russia and Australia.
Wow. I mean, look at that.
Egypt. Yeah. We have somebody listening to us in Egypt. It's really
wow. We have someone in Egypt. Yeah, we do have someone in Egypt. So there are the brats are out there. So with the few minutes we have left, we always like our guests to plug themselves and tell, you know, to use this opportunity to share with the listeners what you're doing or how they can get in touch with you, your social media. Will you please share that?
Yes. You could follow me and my journey at just chrissoriano.com. But more importantly, I just want to express my gratitude to you both for just your professionalism, the way you carried this, the enthusiasm, because, you know, before you go onto a show, people are like, all right, you're going to be on at this. Just the way y'all professionally carried me through. I was just as excited today as I was when you hit me up months ago. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Rose, how did we close out?
So military brats never say goodbye. We always say, see you later.
Ah, love it.
So see you later, Chris.
See y'all later then. Take care.
See you later. Oh, wow. Another wonderful interview to close out season 2 of the Punk Brats, Rose. Thank you, Chris Soriano. Wow.
Yes, thank you so much. Did you find it very, very interesting? Of all our guests, he was the only one who's never been to a DOD school.
Was crazy to me because I understand American brats who are stateside who may not go to a DOD school because they live in an area where there is a public school and it's easier for the military to send them there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when we were growing up in Killeen, we didn't go to Fort Hood to go to school. Dad chose to send us to the public school. But he was homeschooled on top of that.
Amazing.
You know, and just never had that military brat connection, but still had the connection. You know what I mean?
Of
course. Like his father's still taking him to the bases and the PX and all that. But what a cool guy, accomplishing so much and all starting just from COVID, giving him that inspiration to try something new and with his wife.
Yeah. You know? That was so interesting.
Guy.
And then the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest car air freshener. I love it.
That's like, I was like,
just
wow.
So
I mean,
cool. Like you can't make this stuff up, you know? And I just love that he went for it.
Yeah. When we were learning about him and first saw that before we spoke to him, I was like, how do you get that into a car? But then I realized his whole point was like, you know, it wasn't the purpose of making it the largest. It was to bring awareness to environmental
issues.
You know, And so thank you, Chris, for all that you do. And yeah, I mean, hey, again, and I did say it, I'll say it again. Chris, if you need some extras in your movies or want to give a cameo to the Punk Brats, here we are.
Okay, maybe Lisa, but yeah.
Oh, come on.
No, thank you.
Between all of us, Rose, coming from Rose, who's only the only one between both of us who actually did theater in school.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Rose, what a great, great, great year we had.
Yeah.
Just looking forward to 2025 and continuing to do Punk Brats with you and Chris. And I'm really excited because season 3, like I said, is going to kick off here in the next month. And we got some exciting people, including your boo, who's going to kick it off with us on episode 1 of season 3. So I look forward to talking to Craig, and I just love you guys. So I'm just ending it to say happy new year and, blessings to everyone out there.
Yeah.
Ditto. There you go with your long pauses. Oh, gosh.
It's just because I am like, I'm just laughing on the inside. And I just.
It's weird, right? That the year came to an end so fast and lots of things.
Yeah, it really is. And how fast time went by. Well, I was just thinking back to when we were sitting on your couch, like just talking about, hey, let's let's do a podcast or like, let's do something, you know? And I asked Chris when I wanted to do a different type of podcast. I think it started with, you know, hey, can you write me theme music? And it's the music that we're using for this podcast.
Rose, you inspired all of this. I mean, so, you totally inspired all of this with you wanting to do a podcast. I love you for that. And I'm glad we're doing it together. And again, I wish P, if you're listening, that our baby sister could even do it with us. And the invitation is always open to add a third punk breath, but she's more shy than Rose.
For real. Oh my gosh.
And as Koreans, I'm looking forward to like the one thing about the New Year's, the Sebae celebration that we do where we bow to our elders and our children bow to us. And what's so funny is that my kid, she's like, wait a minute, I got married this year. So do I get an envelope? And we're like, no. She's like, what?
Yes.
You're cut off.
She can get an envelope if there's anything in there is the question.
But Rose, can you explain really quick what Sebae is to those who don't know?
Well, it's when in Asian cultures, we bow to our elders on New Year's. And in return, they give us envelopes full of money and also words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So
you can bank sometimes.
Yeah, it's really... It's really a beautiful tradition.
That is,
it's
a
beautiful
tradition.
I did it since I was a kid. Like we both did it since we were a kid, and now we've passed it on to our children. Yeah. And I have a feeling our children will be continuing the tradition.
I think so. And what's so crazy, it makes you think back in our memories of when we were growing up doing it. And our cousin Tina, here's a shout out to her. We were all cleaning up after we did our Sebae celebration. And there's like 20 of us when we're all together as cousins. And we're all putting our envelopes together and cleaning and throwing the trash away. And at the end of the night, she's like, has anybody seen my envelope? And we're like, no. And we realized that she'd accidentally thrown away her envelope of money. But you know,
$800. It was $800.
Poor Tina. Yeah. She was like, it was such a bad. But if I recall, did we each give her something out of our envelope to make up for it?
Yes.
I don't know. Were we that nice? I think something.
So.
Yeah. And if not, Tina's probably shaking her head. No, you didn't. Sorry if we didn't, but I think we
I
did.
I don't remember.
Oh, but great times doing Sebae with our family. And it's a tradition, like Rose said. So if you have a tradition out there with your family, no matter what culture your background is, we'd love to hear about it. And we'd love to hear your stories. Please share a story or ask us a question. Call us at 512-254-5989. We also are on Instagram at Punk Brats USA. We're on Facebook at Punk Brats and TikTok as Punk Brats. We're on YouTube. I mean, Rose, we're on all social media platforms. We're doing well. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I'm still surprised, but I'm going to ride with it.
So on that note, you know.
Yes. So Happy New Year, everybody. 새해 복 많이 받으세요.
네.
For Happy New Year.
Yes.
And see you later, Lisa.
Yeah, see you later. Hold on, Rose. Before we say see you later, I got one more thing.
Okay.
We forgot to remind our audience that at the end of every episode, there's always a caller. So please don't immediately stop the podcast. Listen to these callers. They have some really interesting questions. And if you have one yourself, we encourage you to call us, please. And okay, I think that's it, Rose. Is there anything else I'm forgetting?
No, I'll just say see you later again.
See you later.
Hi, this is Brooke from Dallas. I was just wondering, what is the strangest or most unusual food you tried while living overseas? And did you like it? Thank you.